The row over the televised general election debate, the national debates, may now be heading for the courts. The DUP, Sinn Féin, Us Unionist Party and the SDLP, they've now all said they would want to take part alongside the parties across the water. This uproar came about after broadcast issued plans for the TV debates without Northern Ireland parties taking part whatsoever. Smaller UK parties like the SNP, Plaid Cymru are in there too. They've been added to the list after the Prime Minister refused to take part without the Greens. The Greens have one MP. The DUP, for example, have eight MPs. Sinn Féin, on recollection, they have five MPs, don't they? Gregory Campbell from the DUP is with us now. Good morning to you, Gregory.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And Gerry Kelly from Sinn Féin. Morning, Gerry.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What does this say to you about the broadcaster's attitude, Gregory, towards Northern Irish parties?
Well, I think it says quite a lot, not just about Northern Ireland parties, but about the way they look at election broadcasts. You know, there were two ways of doing this. One was to take the leaders of the two parties that, by all opinion polls, were likely to be the competing parties that would form the government.
Cameron and Miliband.
Cameron and Miliband. That was straightforward. Other people might have complained, but most people would have said, well, there's a rationale for that. Then if they didn't want to do that, they could then go down the road of saying, well, then what we need to do then is open this up, but have some sort of rational criteria about where you draw the line, about who's included and who's excluded. So they moved away from what was previously a three-party leader debate the last time, including the Lib Dems, and they then, under pressure from the Conservatives, they decided to open it up, but they've now opened it up to the point where they don't just include people who may possibly form the government, but regional parties such as the SNP implied. But if they do that, they cannot, with any logic or rationale, say, but we're going to exclude people from Northern Ireland.
Well, they can, and they are, and I guess an argument goes that they're looking at parties with national policies that may actually affect people in England, Scotland and Wales.
Well, they can't do that with any logic or reasoning and apply it to the Scottish Nationalist Party or Plaid Cymru. They simply cannot do that.
Could you really hold your own in a debate about how the UK should be governed? For example, what's the DUP's policy on quantitative easing?
Well, I mean, our position has been that we thought that the previous Labour Party's position was much too radical in one direction, and now the Conservatives, with Lib Dem support, have come in and have adopted an extremely austere approach, which is too far in the other direction.
You're opposed to austerity, are you?
No, we're not. We're opposed to extreme measures which only make matters worse, but we realise that you have to cut your cloth. That's our position on the national stage as well as
okay,
on the local stage.
Let's just go through a test here, right? So what would the DUP, for example, because I will never chair the debates, Gregory, not good enough as you know, not well paid enough as you know. So what would the DUP set the level of income tax at?
Well, for a number of years now, even before the Lib Dems put forward the proposition, we have put forward the proposition that the personal allowances, that is, the amount of money that people can earn before they start to pay income tax, should be raised. And the government have now agreed to that and moved to the point where it's £10,500. We think it should go up to about £15,000 so that people can earn £300 a week, roughly, without paying any income tax. That's our view.
Oh, and, for example, the top rate of tax was lowered from 50% to 45% for those earning over 150 grand a year. Would you support that? Would you bring it back to 50%?
Well, I think the overall issue of the higher rate of tax should be somewhere around between 40 and 50%. But, let's not...
Well, that wouldn't be good in a debate. Well, I'm not trying to play with you here, but here's why that wouldn't be good in a debate. Somewhere between 40 and 50%, that means that you either support it being lowered or raised because it's currently at 45%.
Well, what you would have
so do you think
do,
it should go up or down?
Well, what we would have to do is examine what the outcome would be if it's raised to 50. What would the net outcome be? What would the tax
You haven't done that, you're not ready, for example, for that element of a national debate.
Well, you would be in terms of putting forward your proposition, saying we'd look at the books, we would say, right, it's either going to stick at 40 or we're going to move it up. If moving it up to 50 is too punitive, we would then probably go for 45.
Would you raise the immigration cap?
Would we what?
Would you raise the immigration cap?
Well, again, our view has been that the present and previous government's view has been too lax in terms of immigration. So you would have to tighten that up.
Tighten it up in what way?
Well, you would have to look at the numbers, and you would have to, and I mean, the overall issue is membership of the EU.
So you would have tighter restrictions in terms of immigration.
Yeah, but hold on, Stephen. In terms of immigration into the United Kingdom as a whole, we are restricted in what we can do, principally because of our membership of the European Union.
And Gerry Kelly, here's Sinn Féin. You don't take your seats at Westminster, and now you're moaning about not being part of the national UK debate.
Well, that was an interesting discussion you had with Gregory, and at the beginning of it, let me agree with both of you. And maybe you should be one of the people who can share these debates. But I will go with my Republican politics, as all our MPs will go. We do have policies. We will put them forward. We are against austerity, whether that's in coming from Britain or coming from the South. The question you asked at the start, Stephen, is what does it say about the North? And what it says about the North is basically that the broadcasting authorities don't find them relevant. And frankly, that reflects a wee bit of the Tory government who were not engaged until they were basically forced to be engaged in the recent talks.
But there's no reason, Gerry, why there wouldn't be, and in fact there will be, Northern Ireland election debates, right?
Well, this is a platform, and there is an issue of discrimination. And when it gets down to it, it's a matter of recognising whatever the policies are, and whatever you disagree with, and whether it be the SNP, Plaid, ourselves, or indeed the Unionists. The fact is that we have a mandate, and the mandate is bigger than some of the parties that are being embedded in. Now, that's an issue of discrimination, in my opinion.
But have you got certainly by
the broadcasting authorities, who have made a mess of it because they started off, they then came on the pressure to change it. They then changed it, made the situation worse, and now they're being threatened with legal action.
Well, you see, I've heard lots of threats of legal action, but I haven't seen anybody with a writ on their way to the High Court. So will Sinn Féin undertake legal action if you don't get in?
Well, what will happen is that we will have a discussion this week, and we will decide what to do and what not to do,
right,
in terms of that.
So
but
we don't know.
No, we don't. But the debate at the moment is a matter of respect and mandates, and that's all mandates. So if we are going to open it up, we are the sixth largest party. We have five MPs.
Yeah.
And you have to be as that. They seem to be basing sort of their argument on who might become MPs in the future and what the strengths are. It has to be done on what we already know.
And along a similar thread, Gerry, to what I took with Gregory, let's hear then some of the national issues that, for example, I would discuss with the MPs when I'm on Five Live. Let's hear Sinn Féin's...
And when you get me on on Five, we will discuss all
sure.
of that.
Well, let's hear Sinn Féin's position, for example. If you were part of that national debate...
With you now, I will tell you, right, that if we get on to these, you asked your question at the beginning was, are we capable of dealing with the issues which will be related to that? We will bring our own politics to it. We will deal with what issues we feel are necessary to deal with.
We are
Irish Republicans.
But you wouldn't control it all, Gerry. So you would be asked. You would be asked questions. For example, off the top of my head.
One second.
You're trying to stop me asking a question now, Gerry.
I may say to you, you're not talking off the top of your head.
I am talking off the top of my head, right? I am. For example, would Sinn Féin, I always am talking off the top of my head, I don't do much prep. Would Sinn Féin, for example, support a mansion tax?
Well, what our policies are is that we believe that austerity is wrong, that we believe the damage has been done to the most vulnerable
in our society. That's not the question.
Well, it is dealing with the question in the way that I wish.
Yeah, but would you support a mansion tax, for example?
Well, I will tell you, in terms of any policies which we bring forward, they will be to assist the most disadvantaged in our society.
Sure.
There, we will increase taxes against the super rich.
Would you keep the basic rate of income tax at 20%?
We are against the austerity that the Tories have brought.
Would you keep the basic rate of income tax at 20%?
I'm not going to go into any of the detail with you.
So you're not ready, are you? You're not ready for these debates.
Let me assure you that we will be ready when we go on to these debates. And you can ask the same questions, by the way, whether we're dealing in Five Live or whether you're dealing on the Nolan Show in terms of the debates that we will get into.
Yeah, but my point is those other parties, they do have firm positions because they've had to have those firm positions on the likes of tax-raising powers, on income tax, on the mansion tax, and I can't get it out of you this morning.
Well, you can't get it out of me this morning, but be assured that you will get the answers that we will give. As Irish Republicans, we do believe in a united Ireland. We do believe, as the SNP believe, is that we want to move out of the jurisdiction that exists at the moment. And that will be the core of our argument.
For example, Gregory Campbell, big, massive issue throughout the UK. Should the UK stay part of the European Union? What's the DUP's position on that?
Well, we've been fairly consistent over the course of the past 10 or 12 years in terms of the looking at the UK's position. If we don't get a much better deal, we think we should leave. And we support the proposition, which is that the people should decide whether they stay or leave.
And same question that I asked Gerry Kelly, lots of threats about legal action. Have the DUP actually decided that you will definitely take legal action if you're not in those debates?
Well, what we've done, Stephen, is we have written to both broadcasters pointing out the illogicality, the irrationality of this proposition, that you can't justify or defend it, and you can't do it. I haven't heard anyone being able to do so. Now we wait the response. Once we get the response, we'll then decide.
I'm interested, Gerry, also in Sinn Féin's position in the European Union. Should the UK stay in it?
Well, we have got now four MEPs in it. We will. We have difficulties with some of their power. Substantial policies, and especially the austerity programme, which is European as well as, and you can see what happened in Greece recently because of the austerity programmes, and also in Ireland throughout the north and south, where we have TDs and MPs and members of the Assembly.
I want to ask you, thanks for both of you for coming on. Just before you both go, I was doing a story on Five Live last night about the Green Party, and their leader, Natalie Bennett, has reaffirmed the party's policy that it should not be a crime simply to belong to an organisation. And here's where I'm going with this, Gerry and Gregory. Andrew Neil, the BBC broadcaster, he brought this down the route then of should it not be a crime in this country to belong to Al-Qaeda, for example. And the Green Party's policy is that, yes, it should not be a crime to belong to an organisation. It should be a crime to aid and abet criminal acts. Would you agree with that, Gerry Kelly, that it should be lawful to be a member of Al-Qaeda, for example?
It clearly depends on what the organisation is. I mean, it's a very broad interpretation of that.
Well, let's take Al-Qaeda as an example. Should it be lawful to be a member of Al-Qaeda in the UK?
It depends on what way you define any organisation. For instance, you may find somebody come along and say it may be illegal to be a member of Hamas. Hamas is a political party which has elected representatives and all of that. There are organizations which are entirely military or which are paramilitary and all of that. And I think the definition arrives in terms of what your interpretation of that is. Now, we can get into a long discussion about a series of organizations which are there, but I do think that that's where you look as opposed to have a broad view that any organization is an organization which should not be illegal.
Gregory?
Well, Stephen, I think it's very ironic that you're asking Gerry Kelly about whether it should be or shouldn't be illegal to be a member of an organisation that's engaged in terror. You know, a lot of people will be saying, well, it's not so long ago since there wouldn't have been a very straight answer to that from Gerry Kelly. But no, let's be absolutely and fundamentally clear about this. Al-Qaeda or any other international grouping that has at its heart and its core murder and terror of innocent people, membership of that organisation should be illegal in this country.
Well, Gerry, thank you. Morning to you. Gregory, morning to you too. Stephen Agnew from the Green Party is with us this morning. Morning to you, Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
So here's your policy. I was talking to your deputy leader about this last night as well. You're the Northern Ireland rep for the Green Party. Here's your current policy. it should not be a crime simply to belong to an organisation or have sympathy with its aims.
Okay.
So it should be a crime to aid and abet criminal acts or deliberately fund such acts. Here's what your leader, Natalie Bennett, said to Andrew Neil on the Sunday Politics Show yesterday.
This is a part of our policy that I think dates back to the age of the ANC and apartheid South Africa.
It's on your website but at the moment, it should not be a crime, PD443 in your website, to belong to an organisation or have sympathy with its aims, though it should be a crime to aid and abet criminal acts, but it shouldn't be a crime to be a member of Al-Qaeda or ISIS. Correct?
Exactly. What we want to do is make sure we're not punishing people for what they think or what they believe. Obviously, actions of inciting violence, supporting violence, those are absolutely unacceptable, illegal, and should be pursued to the full extent of the law. But we have to be really, when we're thinking about issues around security and issues around, like, internet privacy, etc.
It's really interesting this, Stephen. Do you support your party's position?
Well, I should point out that we're a distinct party from the Green Party in England and Wales. I'm the leader of the Green Party in Northern Ireland. Natalie is the leader of the Green Party in England and Wales. But what I would say about the policy, and while the press have chosen to point out one small aspect of it, it's very clear that it says that it should be a crime to aid and abet criminal acts or deliberately fund such acts. In other words, any terrorist activity should be a criminal offence.
Absolutely. And that is crystal clear.
Where there is evidence to show that there's criminal activity, then action should be taken
and
resources should be put into it. What shouldn't happen, and what we've seen here in Northern Ireland, is people being arrested on suspicion of terrorist activity without evidence, without any...
That's a red herring.
It's not a red herring at all. We had the situation with the Terrorism Act in the UK since 9/11, where people were being released arrested, and we had proposals of 90 days detention without trial.
Okay, but that is a red... Stephen, let me tell you why that's a red herring. I just want to stay in the specifics. First of all, just help me understand this. Your party has links and affiliations with the Green Party across the water, right?
So we share similar core principles.
Okay, do you share the same policy on this, that it should not be a crime to belong to an organisation or have sympathy with its aims?
That is not a policy of the Green Party in Northern Ireland. But what I am trying to do is trying to explain what I understand to be the rationale of that policy.
Do you oppose that policy?
It is to ensure that people are tried only when there's evidence against them, and that there aren't, as there has been in the Terrorism Act, people being arrested on suspicion.
I can help you with this, though. I can help you with this, Stephen, so we don't need to waste time. You're right. It is absolutely beyond dispute that the Green Party, led by Natalie Bennett, the UK Green Party, that... absolutely, it says it should be illegal if anybody is trying to incite violence, engage in violence, aid or abet criminal activity.
Or even fundraise for such.
Absolutely. So there is no argument about that, Stephen. Okay, but let me give you an example, because I want to know if you oppose the Green Party across the water or whether you support this particular policy. And I need to use an example to get your position on it. So let's say someone in Northern Ireland decides to set up the Al-Qaeda club, and they want, there's no membership fee, and they want people to come and meet in Belfast on a Wednesday night to discuss Al-Qaeda's aims. There's no chat about engaging in violence, but they believe in Al-Qaeda and they believe in what Al-Qaeda is doing. Should that be lawful or unlawful?
I think if you're asking me if people want to freely and openly discuss their own views, their own politics, of course. We live in a free society, that should be okay.
Should they be able to set up an Al-Qaeda club? An Al-Qaeda, they're part of a membership club. They're part of Al-Qaeda.
Well, I've been very clear. If in any way they are working towards planning or funding acts of terrorism, that action should be illegal. If it is the free expression of political ideas, even if they're ideas that I fundamentally disagree with and society as a whole would fundamentally disagree with, people should have the freedom of expression. Where that expression moves into action to commit crimes, they should be investigated.
So you agree, and listen, there might be some people, many people who agree with you this morning. So you're consistent with the Green Party, with Natalie Bennett's Green Party. So you do agree that it should not be a crime simply to belong to an organisation. Simply to belong to an organisation that believes in violence. It's when they start advocating It's when they start engaging in violence. But an organisation that believes in violence, you do not think it should be a crime simply to belong to that organisation.
I believe that arresting people for their political views is counterproductive and is more likely to incite terrorism than actually to tackle terrorism. I believe in doing what works and what's effective. And we've seen in Northern Ireland, arresting people purely on the suspicion of terrorism without evidence was counterproductive.
So I shouldn't have called Natalie Bennett your leader because you're a separate organisation. Absolutely. With your own policy. So that was my bad, right?
Yep.
But the Green Party in Northern Ireland will be fighting the general election on the Green ticket. You'll be benefiting from the Green Party profile across the water. In other words, you know, your involvement, for example, in the television debates, you might get a kick out of that, right?
Well, absolutely, and that's why I've come on, Stephen. I'm not shying away with our links from the Green Party in England and Wales, and I'm seeking to explain ultimately something that is a Green Party of England and Wales policy, not a Green Party of Northern Ireland policy.
But you agree with the policy. It's clear this morning you agree with the policy.
We will have our own separate Northern Ireland manifesto, but we will be working with our colleagues in England and Wales and in the Scottish Greens, which is also a separate party, to make sure as much as possible that we have a common manifesto. But where there will be, where there are issues of disagreement, Northern Ireland Green Party will have its own separate policy.
Should it have been illegal? Should it be illegal for people to be members of the IRA?
I'm not sure what it achieves. I mean, I know it has and it is illegal. But I put it back to you, Stephen. I believe in what works. And if somebody can produce evidence to me that making membership of an organisation itself illegal, then I would look at that.
But it is illegal. It's currently illegal.
Absolutely.
And I'm asking you as an MP, do you support that position? Yes or no?
I'm an MLA.
An MLA.
At this point in time, the Green Party in Northern Ireland has no position that seeks to...
Thank you.